The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Who do we have, let's see, attending the workshop? Maybe you can say hello in text chat, or we can, I'd love to go around the room. So maybe Ian or Miriam, could you tell me how many? Oh, there's somebody. Okay. Hi. Poland. Okay. Cool. I'm in Seattle. Michael. Okay. So I don't know if this will make it into the video. Are we recording or should we be?
Yes, people can see that on the screen. So they can see the messages here in Big Blue Button. So no worries.
Okay, but it's not, looks like it's not being recorded. Should it be?
You are now unmuted.
Excellent.
You are now muted.
Okay, so a few of us, and I'd love it if you can get your, if you want to get audio or camera working, that'd be great. If not, that's fine. We can just use text chat, but it's a little hard for me to follow text chat, so, and give the workshop. So I will try, we'll see how it goes, but I would love it if people can, try and add some of those other things too, like video or audio. I think it'll be a little easier for us to interact. It's an interactive workshop. It's not just a delivery. It's not a lecture. Captioning.
You are now
okay. Cass de la Cruz is no. Okay, there's no captioning.
You are now muted.
Okay. Well, so part of what I want to do is make sure that everybody that signed up to participate can be heard if they wish to be read, I suppose, and they can hear and see me okay. And I'm gonna share my screen shortly, and we'll start going through the workshop. But first, we got to make sure everybody can see and hear. So maybe thumbs up if you can. Be great. We can do interaction over text. We can make this work. Okay, that's okay. Yeah. So I'm going to keep this text chat open on the side so it's easier for me to refer to. And then I will start sharing my screen when I'm sure everyone can hear and be heard. Sounds like hearing is the most important thing. And typing or being able to be part of the text chat. So I guess we already know that I'm assuming y'all can hear me. Give me some thumbs ups, folks, in the chat or some yes. Good to go. Green light. There's one. Thank you. Plus one. All right. Okay. Anybody wants to do an audio thumbs up, go for it. That'll be interesting to attempt. No worries about the mic. Okay. All right, we got a few thumbs up, so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and just be cognizant of the fact that I want us to interact, and so I'm going to need you to interrupt on text chat. And well, share, slow me down, ask questions. This is the Immortal Cookbook, that's what I'm calling it. Welcome. Thank you again to LibrePlanet, everyone who's on staff and volunteers. I really don't know the difference. They seem to be putting in equal amount of effort on all sides, and it's something I find really enriching and exciting. So thank you for doing the good work, LibrePlanet staff and volunteers. I think it would be good to do a quick self-intro. So maybe it looks like our interaction is going to be mainly text chat here, unless anybody does speak up. Go ahead and type a sentence like, I'm from Poland was great. Thank you, Jakub or Jacob. And sorry, I don't know how to pronounce. I'm just kind of... If I'm nailing a name incorrectly, please let me know. Yeah, but if you want to share anything else, okay, Jacob, will do. That's easy for me. Anyone else want to say a thing or two? And then I'll do the same. Just, I don't know, where you're from, what bring you here today, what sounded interesting about this or not. And... I don't really care too much about experience level because I think it's really approachable. Ron, awesome. Thanks for coming, Mohammed. US East Coast, nice. Okay, so afternoon, evening time for some folks. Hopefully not middle of the night for anybody. Okay, I'm waiting for a couple self intros to trickle in. You already heard my bio. I'm interested in free software because I think it's very practical. The reasons are truly practical, and while sometimes the movement is idealistic, it is very practical to own and control your data and do amazing things with it, including your recipes. Okay. Monas, I'm going to just call you who Monas, unless you tell me different. From Greece, you want to start cooking sustainably. Awesome. Okay. So I started cooking a lot when I started kind of being the house husband or whatever you want to call it. I'm doing running the house and buying groceries, and I like to practice. I usually go down a technical rabbit hole and get distracted by tech rather than letting it enable my life and the life around me. So I thought this was a good opportunity to practice. Okay, what's useful? What's getting in the way? And that's kind of a theme today is what's really practical for managing your recipes, cooking, sharing, that kind of thing. Free software is perfect for this. Okay, and then Andrew, welcome. Joining from the South, your student. Welcome, welcome. Okay. It looks like it's going to be reasonable to follow the text. Okay, so I'm assuming you can read my screen on the right. Let's focus on this window I got open with a terminal, workshop, a whole bunch of emoji. So if you can't see this, just make sure you speak up quickly, because I'll assume you can read what I'm going to walk through in my text editor. So there's your legalese, the fine print. I'm not going to go over in detail. You can review those licenses on your own, please. Let's see. So we did roll call, fine print, setup is where we're at. Whoa. Okay. There we go. Okay. So hopefully you can see Oh, it's not going to scroll automatically. Hopefully it will. Okay. Thank you, attendee 4WI. I'm glad that you can. Thank you for confirming you can read and see. Okay, so here's the setup for the talk. We'll walk through this file together, and I'm going to leave it a few times. I'll try and, when I'm on my own, I flit around pretty quickly to Windows, and I'll try and just be a little more deliberate and say what I'm doing while I do it. But let me know if you get lost as far as what are we looking at, what are we doing right now, and I'll try and bring everybody back along. So what my intent here is that I don't have any slides. This is the whole workshop. It's in a text file. We're going to walk through it together, and you get a copy of it after. Obviously, it's free, Libra. It's yours. I may even edit it. Like if you bring up something that should be in there, I guess it's up to me, then I might just add it in, and then I'll push that into source control, or we can get this whatever way is easiest for you, but it'll be posted online too. That's your table of contents on the left, and we're in the setup section so far. So I budgeted about 15 minutes for all this lead-in stuff, and then we'll get into this portion I'm just calling data, where I review the different data formats for recipes, and then software, little break. I wrote a script to convert some text recipes between text formats with more and less and more structure, and we'll go over that. And then I have some kind of questions for you if you have other questions for me or whatever, but I'd like to get a little healthy discussion going too. And we have some time, so we're not rushed. This is really nice. We can jump into little discussions if it's kind of along the lines of what we're talking about. So yeah, here it is, my cursor. Hopefully you can follow along where I'm at by following my cursor. It's all yours. You can work along on your own. I mean, that's up to you if you like multitasking. The prerequisites you probably need on your end, text editor, the Python interpreter, command line shell. And if these things, again, I didn't really pull for skill level and all that, but if these are pretty basic for you, great. If they're alien, they don't make sense, I don't think that's going to be much of an issue either. Text is what we're reading right now. It's just words in a page, words in a file. So if you're at that level, I put the words coding in the description to hopefully attract the right audience, but let me know if you're way off and we can try and accommodate, but I think a minimum of being able to edit text files is gonna get you through. And then if you do have Python and some good Libre tools, normal Python 2.7 might work. I think my code's compatible, but I'm not gonna guarantee that. Good question. And let me know if there's something like, you could mention that if you have suggestions for me, go ahead and add them, and I may take them right then, I may not. Similarly for please repeat, slow down, speed up, let me know. I like to point this out that this came up in IRC yesterday. I was chatting with somebody, just technical topic, but they got really upset when we disagreed. And it's okay if we disagree. That's great. That's a chance to learn. So let's try it. It's just about how I'm going to kind of monitor and coordinate the talk. And I don't know if this helps motivate you to stay involved, but I'm going to be asking you questions. So I'll try not to make it too much like a pop quiz, but yeah, there may be some quiz at the end. And just lastly, be kind. And I hope you like fried pickles. That'll come up. You'll either be sick of fried pickles or really, really hungry for some by the end of this talk. Okay, any questions so far about the setup? Let's move on. So here's the goals. Here's what we're trying to do. And I really want to emphasize, let me reset my timer for the next section. Right on time so far. It's really about cooking well, the tech-enabled cooking, specifically free and Libre tech only. The data must be free and Libre too, and the data are just as important, if not more important than the tech, because a lot of these data I'll show you are just standalone. A recipe in text format, frankly, a printed recipe is pretty much tech agnostic. Everything can handle text. So make sure that our focus is on, okay, we're cooking well, we really need at a minimum recipes and practice. So, and the two goals that I want to highlight are just, we want to pick tech and data formats that are readable and editable as long as we could imagine that could be true. So immortal. And shareable is kind of, I'd say it's a close second because, I don't know. I think a lot of living is about our connections with other people. So cooking is no exception. Let's see if we can nail those goals. And these are things I'm just like, hey, these non-goals. So I'm going, let's go to the next section here. Nice to have, but we're not feet to the fire with these. But some of them are enabled. We'll get some of these for free anyway. I'll show you the different, one of the software we'll use will support, you know, recipe scaling. One of them does make a shopping list, nutrition info. But I put all these under non-goals because they really aren't necessary to actually cook. Cooking is about practice and having the time, ability, and privilege to be able to do so. So that's what's important here. All this other stuff, it truly is nice to have. It doesn't make it easier for other people to cook the things you want to show them to cook or help them to cook or work with them on. So I don't want to get distracted by any of these. And that's why, especially like beautiful food photos, that's a great one because it, you know, you see those and it gets you excited about making something. So that's great. That's very useful. But if you've made something a couple times, then you can just picture what it's like. You can almost smell it. So that's fine. You don't worry so much about these other things. They're nice to have. Okay. So any questions about, any questions or comments about these features? Honestly, this makes it exciting in my mind because I think honing down and focusing, it gets us to our goals. And one tactic is not going to help us meet our goals. It's really like a philosophy and value system up front that will help us meet our goals. So again, that the recipes are immortal and shareable. That's it. So that's what we're aiming for. I think it's reasonable and hopefully that'll make it really fun too, because geez, 10, 20 years from now, you'll still have them. Okay. So Jacob, I love it. Yeah. In the kitchen, there's all kinds of technology. And I mean, yeah, once you got the recipe, that's just one little part of it. I mean, you got to find the right pan, the right pan, the right oven, the right fuel source, all that stuff. Good luck. Okay. So let's see. I think we're good on time. I'm going to just jump back up to my setup to remind myself 15 minutes for lead in, 15 minutes for data. Okay. So we're looking good on time. Okay, so on to the data section. So I'm calling this our minimum lovable recipe, and that's a shout out. It's kind of a hat tip, I guess, to a former coworker of mine that instead of minimum viable product, they would call something we made a minimum lovable product. And I think that really shows how it's not just about viability, like can a product actually do a thing? It's about will people love it? Does it have the potential to be loved? Or let's just say used, enjoyed, will it work? How people feel about it is important. So for a recipe, I think it's pretty simple. Like you got to have it in your hand. Sure, it's got to be a good one. You test it. Hopefully it's the right proportions. It tastes good, all that stuff. But if you can't get it to them, or you lose access to it, everything's shot. Like it's time wasted. MLP. Yeah, I just made it up. MLP. Ooh. Okay, there's one error already. Minimum lovable recipe. There we go. Yes, apologies. But yeah, MLP you can use for the workplace, right? That's good to go. Okay, so from minimum lovable product, we get our minimum lovable recipe. And this is really is the bare minimum that we need. And so again, just trying to like laser focus in and on what's important for us to get in the kitchen and make something awesome. So implementation wise, now we're getting into tactics. And I think if our strategy is immortal, plain text is a great way to meet that. It's just totally accessible, editable, manipulable, shareable, all those things. Paper, frankly, even easier in some situations, but it's just not what we're here for today. But hang on to your paper. And maybe we will come up with some ideas for paper as well, but that's not what we're here for. So let's see. So with that plain text, I mean, just type in a recipe, and you can, if you're peeking down below, you'll start to see my first plain text example. But consider just add structure slowly and thoughtfully, only as it becomes useful. I would be pretty conservative about the tech. We'll start with the data. Be conservative about the structure you add to your data. Try and get a good feel for whether it's got longevity or not. And I'm, of course, going to give you some great ideas today. The structure, of course, is so it's software manipulatable, whatever. So with some structure, you can do a lot less parsing or even no parsing at all. Maybe it's built in, maybe there's libraries, all that stuff. Everything we're doing today is with free software. So let's start with the first data format, plain text. Okay, here's a plain text recipe, and I'm going to change a setting here. So you can see these three backticks are fences for the code. So from 108 to 130, inside this blocks is the code I want you to concentrate on. The text. So this is the first recipe. So if you want to just look it over real quick. Pretty simple. The description isn't even strictly necessary because we know it's fried pickles. We don't really need to know how the author felt about them, but that's how I feel about them. And the ingredients in this case, I don't even really need the proportions. You know, it's enough to just, for me, I look at this and I'm like, if I'm making a whole lot, then I may just add some more seasoning. Those aren't super, they're just guidelines, but we'll stick with them for now. So with this, what we got is something that's human readable and it's unstructured. The only structure you have in Markdown is header levels. The only structure we're using in this Markdown document is header levels and a list here, unordered. And then down in the directions, we have an ordered list, numbered list. Okay, simple enough. So that's the simplest recipe format. I have a ton of recipes in this format, perfectly valid. I looked them up. I haven't yet converted them into other formats, but it works well enough. And can't overstate how important it is to be able to get at your recipes. So if you got them in this plain text, that's great, you know. The next format I want to go over real quick is JSON, specifically schema.org recipe type. So I want you to give that a look. Exact same recipe, just structured, and you can, from software, query it very directly for the different attributes, drill down in there, manipulate it, display it however you want, and most importantly, I would say, convert it to other formats fairly easily. You don't really need to write a parser. You can just say, give me the JSON there, and then it's converted to an in-memory structure. In our case, we'll use Python, but you can, any software language can handle JSON. So it's easy to work with from code, but I would argue quite a bit less human readable. So that's the schema.org recipe form. I'm using very few of the available attributes. You can encode quite a bit. It's a neat structure. I think it's loose, flexible. You'll notice some drawbacks, if you will, that I just used a text array here for recipe ingredient. And so one cup is not separate. So if I wanted to have the ability to double and have the recipe, I'd need the unit, the value and the unit dimension separate. Right now, they're just all in there along with the ingredient too. And then the ingredient isn't really standardized. But again, this recipe works, and it's going to be obvious, at least to for in English, what's intended, what you're supposed to do. Hopefully. So the next format, and let's get down here. Ooh. Meal Master is another one I look to. You're not seeing a screen? Okay. I'm going to pause just for a second because it is pretty important to be able to see. So can anyone else say whether or not they're seeing? Okay, thank you. So maybe someone can help out Jordan with a tech issue. Okay, I'm going on to the Meal Master data format. So this is Meal Master. This is an exported, I'm going to wrap this. Okay, so it's going to go off to the right, but it's the exact same recipe. This is an exported Meal Master format. Meal Master is pretty, advanced. I think they try to incorporate quite a bit of things with these in this format, and it works pretty well. I read this kind of description. I'll link to it in the resources at the end. And it's pretty hard to parse because it's a very flexible format. It could have columns, blah, blah, blah. So this is meant to be readable and shareable, but not so much easily parsable. So I think the parsers are good because they put so much work into them. So it looks like you're able to transfer it around. But I was a little hesitant to really commit to Meal Master, except I kind of treat it like read-only recipes. So I just learned about it the other day, and I started looking around, and there are tons of recipes available. But I thought something like the recipe.org JSON schema would be a lot more immortal, let's say. So, but it is human readable. Not bad to read, actually. It looks like recipe cards I've written out myself, but it's apparently difficult to parse, although you could argue that, well, you just used one of the existing libraries and they've done the parsing work for you. I think it's still not perfect. And even the program I'll show you to open Meal Master recipes will even have errors sometimes. So that's Meal Master. The last one I'm going to go over is this GNOME recipes format. And it's stuffed into SQLite databases, and then when you do an export, it makes like a DOS INI file. So I think this would be somewhat easier to work with from code, although JSON I think would be easier, even easier. So let's say almost as easy to work with from code. But it is not really human readable. Okay, so that's it for data. So those are the data formats I'm going to review. Are there any major ones I missed? Free software, let me know. Or one that you were hoping to see that you didn't. It's fine. You know, just type it in there. We can add it along. Okay, let's jump into software. So, my only requirement, again, LibrePlanet, so they had to be free in Libre. Any meal is the first one we'll look at. And here are the pros and cons, but let's just look at it before we get too far. Here's IntyMeal. Okay, so I input the same recipe in IntyMeal, and it looks about the same. Again, I think very readable. It seems like it's a little older tech, even though this UI was recently remade. It looks like a kind of a dedicated person rebuilt this thing with, I think it's Qt or something like that. And so it works fine. I don't love it, and I don't know a lot of people that use a GNU/Linux desktop. So like if I'm telling them to install, maybe it runs on other OSs as well. But if it doesn't, if it's not like paper or working on a mobile phone, it's hard to get people to collaborate. So mainly I stick with it. This might be fine if it was just myself, or if I could force everybody to use it, but I think it's just kind of not the easiest to work with. But I mean, it has some advanced features, I think. There, it seems to understand units, and I think you can do scaling in here. I'm actually not sure. Let's see. Well, I don't know. It does have this built-in unit converter, but I don't recall seeing an automatic recipe scaling thing in here. Nice. So that's great. IntyMeal's in the Triskel repositories. I mean, there's one reason to check it out. That's great. They have Windows too. Okay. Let's see. The browser with LibreJS. Oh, sorry. You guys are also troubleshooting the big blue button call. Okay, so that's IntyMeal, and like I mentioned, available existing recipes, tons of them. I should have read my own notes here. Yeah, it sounds like it's cross-platform. And you know, it is very fast. I tried loading tons of recipes just to see, and you can filter them very quickly and search through them. So that's compelling. No mobile apps, old UI. Sorry, that's just my opinion. I've already done this, but so included in the code you'll get, there's this fried pickles recipe. Here's the markdown version of it. Here's the meal master version of it. JSON, so you can compare all of them and how they would fit differently in different formats. This HTML just has the JSON is embedded in the HTML, and that'll become useful shortly when we need to import it into Nextcloud recipes. So that's IntyMeal. And then let's go on to Nextcloud. Okay, so Nextcloud is primarily kind of a personal cloud platform. It's AGPL licensed, and it has a third-party app you can install called Cookbook that works well, I'd say. So I have one set up. I started a little Nextcloud server, and I added the Cookbook app, and then I added some recipes too, and this is kind of what it looks like. I put in a whole bunch of recipes just to kind of make it look fancy. I don't know, maybe you could say that's a little more visually appealing than IntyMeal. But what's interesting to me about this one is that it seems like it's in pretty active development. The apps are useful, and they do have a mobile app. Two mobile apps for it as well, although both the apps work about the same. The data format, they made a really deliberate choice to keep, to store the data in this JSON format, recipe schema.org JSON, and it's really good. It's it works quite well, I'd say. Just jump into this question real quick. Five types of encoding issues. Oh, okay. So back to IntyMeal real quick for a second. I have no idea. I think one of the reasons this guy, the person rewrote any meal was to handle UTF-8. All the text on my machine is UTF-8. And if you have this code we're looking at right here, the friedpickles.mm file is UTF-8 text, I'm guessing. Well, it's just even ASCII. It's not even Unicode. So that falls into UTF-8, obviously. Or not, obviously. Cool. Yeah, any other questions, let me know. It's encoding format. Yeah. So I always assume everything is UTF-8, or I try and convert it into that. Let's see. Yeah, so Nextcloud is great for just getting at the recipes. You know, I should add this, that you can't share easily. It's interesting because it doesn't print very well. Let's see if I can try that. So, well, okay, let's do the import first. Yeah, so here's the exercise. Okay, so what I did, let me show you this file. Okay, so this is an HTML file with that the JSON is embedded. So if you're used to reading HTML, great. If you're not, you know, check it out. It's going to be big. So this is what the Nextcloud Cookbook app is going to look at to try and import the recipe. And this stuff down below is just to make it human readable. So let me just pull up the web page. It's a little easier to see. We don't need to go through the code line by line. Okay, so here's what's happened, what it looks like when you open that friedpickles.html in a web browser. And I put it up on my own server. The Nextcloud Cookbooks app is going to pull from this URL. It's going to grab this resource to import the recipe. So view source would show you this, except I think at least with Firefox, it snips out this comment, so you don't get to see that. What I did was to make that JSON, I converted that markdown file using a Python script I'll show you a little later. And I also threw in an image. I cheated a little bit and added this. Let's see, on line 31 here, I added this image property, so it'll grab that. So let's go ahead and do the import from Nextcloud Cookbook. So Nextcloud Cookbook screen scrapes, again, it requires if a web page has JSON linked data, I think it is, in this format of recipe.org holding, so if it can tell that it's a recipe, then it'll try and pull it in. Let's go ahead and do that. And it's usually pretty quick. Okay, so this is, it grabbed the JSON, it stored it on disk, and then this is just the display and styling of that JSON. It grabbed the image from this Wikimedia Commons link, and it made thumbnails of it as well. So it'll show up on the All Recipes page here. So let's see, if fried pickles should now show up here. So it's pretty sweet for scraping recipes, and it can scrape from lots of popular recipe websites and even blogs if they have that LDJSON. I don't know if it requires the LDJSON, but it certainly makes it work well. And I can't comment to the, I don't know how legal it is to scrape recipes, might be fine, might not. So make sure you do your homework there. But for storing your own, it's great, I think. Again, the one problem is printing, and maybe I can just show you really quick. Yeah, here it is. So, well, that actually looks okay. Not terrible. I don't know why it has that background there. You might be able to get rid of that. Okay, well, I take it back. And this is the latest stable Nextcloud. No, this is one version back. This is Nextcloud 25. And then the cookbook app is just the latest. So that actually looks all right for printing. Okay, any questions on Nextcloud? Cookbook. Okay. All right, so let's go down. Yeah, if you try and print Markdown files in general, they might work, they might not. I think they're getting better at it, but it needs some work. So the recipes aren't Markdown. They're JSON, they're formatted, and then they've been kind of improving the way the recipes print. So, but sharing, you can't just share an individual recipe and have somebody go to it online. I guess you'd have to make a PDF and send that to them. Sharing is really a core feature of Nextcloud, right? Like sharing files, expiration dates, share via email, whatever it is. But recipes can't really be shared that way. Okay, the question is, could the JSON LD be part of another file? So yeah, I mean, what I just showed you here was an HTML file. So JSON LD can be embedded in HTML. Is that it? Is that what you're wondering? Yeah, okay. Okay, so let's look at GNOME recipes really quick. This one's pretty fun. I mean, it looks cool at the outset. There it is. And then when you first start it, it's got all kinds of recipes. There's some kind of online thing they have integrated so you can get to recipes. I don't know anything about third-party services they're using or not using or their own or privacy, whatnot, but I just tried it out and I put in the same fried pickles recipe. And what was notable to me about this? I think the input was pretty easy. I wanted to be able to import, but I couldn't figure out how to do that because here I have this recipe in several formats already, but I had to literally type it in again. So I just couldn't figure out how to import it. If somebody knows, please let me know. I saw an open issue in their issue tracker about adding that, importing and exporting easier, make it easier to import and export, something like that. You can scale the recipe, it seems to work. The units were a little weird, I thought. It forces you, if you do add a unit, it reduces them according to some algorithm. And I would never say 8 tablespoons in Imperial, I would just say half cup. But there you go, it's workable. But yeah, I don't know. This seemed like kind of a fun way. But it has the same issue with any meal, from my point of view, in that it's kind of, you're kind of stuck on the desktop. And it's weird, but I don't know a lot of people that uses desktop. At least the people I'm trying to coordinate with meals don't use desktop much. They're not that techie. They might not use GNU/Linux. And so I can't just say, hey, install this thing. Any meal, cross-platform. This one, probably not. I don't know. But because I wanted something on the web, printing actually works pretty well for this one. But because I wanted something web-based and I end up using Nextcloud quite a bit already, so I generally stick with Nextcloud Cookbook. So there's the pros and cons for GNOME recipes. There are a bug or two. Sorry for people that feel strongly about this stuff. I was just kind of surprised they chose to write it in C. That's not a very approachable language. It's tough. It's tough to get people to work on your project if it's written in C, I would say. Unless you got a lot of momentum and have a great reason for it needing to be in C. I guess I have some strong opinions about that. So, but there it is. And it does look like it's maybe fallen off the map or it's dead at this point. Yeah, that's kind of another thing against these three pieces of software that I've checked. It seems like that that Meal Master recipe format has longevity. I mean, some of these recipes I was looking at were 20 years old. Gnome Recipes is really new, but they've got a lot of recipes in there. It's like Gnome Recipes seems to have come up late and died quickly, and then AnyMeal stuck around. Meal Master and AnyMeal probably have some staying power, but I still think plain text is going to have a lot more staying power than any of those. So if we're going for Immortal, we're going to want Markdown or JSON. I would kind of urge you to check out JSON. Okay, so we're at 9:45. I would love to do a quick 5-minute break. So if we could do that, stand up if you can, if you will, and take a breather. How about if we reconvene in 5 minutes? Does that work for folks? Okay, so let's make it, 12:51 Eastern. BRB. All right, we'll start in a minute. It sounds like a couple folks grabbed any meal. Yeah, I agree. I found it a little tricky to get recipes in. The UIs for recipe entry are really good, I think, for Nextcloud Cookbook is easy to add recipes. GNOME Recipes is easy to add recipes. I'm scared to use GNOME Recipes because I think it's dead. Can I recommend any recipe databases in text format? Do you mean like sources of a whole bunch of existing recipes? No, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say in that MealMaster format, there are tons, and I link to them in the resources. So maybe what we or the community needs is something to convert those MealMaster ones. I mean, you can just use any meal. If you use any meal, there are tons of them out there. I don't know which ones are good. Personally, I only use, I'll share some of mine, sure. I have a handful. Maybe 12, but I'm happy to share those if y'all want them. But I don't cook that many things. I mean, I have maybe 10 things I cook. Now, let's say even 5 that I refer to the recipe that are complex enough that I need the recipe. and so I don't maintain that many. But I just, anyway. Okay, let's roll. Tideverse site script recipes all in plain text. Interesting. Is it a structured plain text, like one of the ones we've talked about, or just some other, is just unstructured, random format? Depends on user basis, but very well structured parcel. Okay. So parsable, you mean like it'd be easy to write? Well, I don't know. Like these MealMaster ones are like not, I mean, it'd take a while to parse them by hand for new, but if you could get the library working, it's probably pretty parsable. But anyway, I don't know what the policy is maybe for sharing links around, or if you have a link you want me to add, if you find a recipe source. I put my email in here so you could send me a patch or something. I'm happy to add sources of free plain text recipes. That'd be pretty cool. Okay, so let's go to this converter. So here's the thing I wrote to convert Markdown to JSON, and let's wrap the text again. So it's brittle. It's just demonstration, inspiration. Maybe it'll give us some ideas, or it requires all of these things. It's a very specific structured format in a specific order. If you don't do it that way, you have to get really smart. I mean, you could use machine learning or something if you really cared, but I don't. I just did this to demonstrate. So, but let's go over it and talk about ways we could do it better. Let's see. MD recipe to JSON. Okay, so I gave it, what did I get? It's AGPL, in case anyone decides to copy this. But here's the way it works. So we're operating on, and let's see if we can handle it. Let's look at both of these at once. So let's look at the data we're manipulating on the top up here. So these are the data in source friedpickles.md, and then here's the code down here. So we're going to establish a dictionary to store key value pairs, and the values can be almost anything in Python. Well, okay, so let's start at the beginning. Before that, we pass in, so let's just run it. We're going to run the program and pass in the markdown recipe. And I think that's the way it's going to work. Yeah, and then it just spits out schema.org JSON recipe format. So that's the same JSON we've looked at a couple times before. It's just not formatted. So I'm going to go ahead and pipe this to JQ just so it's a little more readable. And then that's what you end up with there. So familiar? Hope so by now. I'm curious if anybody after this talk goes and just has to get or make some fried pickles. Please let me know if you do that. That would make my day. Anyway, here's how I parsed it. So it's, again, really stupid. Don't do this. But it works as long as the markdown is very regular. So I split on, I'm calling these octothorps, this pound sign, I guess is also called an octothorp or a hashtag, hash mark, whatever. But one or more hash marks, one or more spaces, one or more of anything, capture that part, and then a new line, or one or more new lines, and then an end of line character. And we're passing in this entire markdown. I just pointed at my screen. That's awesome. I just passed in this entire markdown file here, and then the multi-line flag to Python means it will operate on the entire thing one line at a time. So after splitting it into sections, this is an array, then we grab the second element, sections one, and that is just our name. So first element is just going to be something blank, and then the second element is the words fried pickles. So we store that in our dictionary as the name. Number it both. So if you guys have any questions, you can refer to a line number. So similarly, since we've split everything up, this might be specific to Unix line endings as well. I think I noted that in the workshop that the sections array down here, or this list, ends up being split very specifically. And so the second element will be the name. The fifth element will be this description right here. And then we just strip off any white space from the front and back using the strip function in Python. The ingredients end up just being this whole seventh element. And then to construct the ingredients list, we have a regular expression that is just an asterisk, followed by a space, followed by one or more of anything, and capture that one or more of anything. So by finding every single one of those, capturing the ingredient itself after the bullet, then we end up with this ingredients list. Okay. My Python's a little rusty, but I believe this is a list comprehension where we say, filter that ingredients list and then strip every individual ingredient. So let's see, ingredients list has all of this basically. So not the asterisks, but there's some extra white space like a new line or a space at the beginning or end. And so we just want to end up with that right there, just the text. And so that's what the list comprehension spits out, that list with every ingredient stripped of white space front and back. Okay, and then somewhat similarly for the directions section down here, directions is the ninth element from our original split. And then we're going to find everything, one or more digits, followed by a period, followed by one or more spaces, and then one or more of anything that we're capturing. Okay, and then strip each one using a list comprehension again. What we end up with is that recipe dict, the dictionary. And it's really easy for Python to convert its in-memory dictionary to JSON. It's almost like a one-to-one conversion, as long as you use simple types like strings and integers and stuff. And then this is the output. So again, just a demonstration, but it's useful that, you know, okay, we got less than, let's call it 12 lines of Python to make a brittle parser. And if you know Haskell, apparently you can make a nice little filter that's not too hard. I kind of checked out when I looked at Pandoc filters, but I think that might be a better way to do it, because Pandoc is a great tool for handling Markdown, and it's got a nice internal structure. It makes an abstract syntax tree, which is kind of your intermediate format, handy for programming against. And it's very dependable. So if you can code against that abstract syntax tree, then you can transform it into just about anything. So this is kind of the way, now you got something that can parse Markdown, and as long as it's regularly, well, your Markdown still has to be somewhat regular, right? It has to be predictable. So for this file right here, is again the same Markdown. I mean, with a Pandoc filter, you could say, okay, if you see an H2 that has the word ingredients, but anyway, hopefully you can imagine how regular your Markdown would still need to be. Any questions or thoughts around that? Okay. So that's the converter. And all it depends on, and then a suggestion on how to do it better. All right. So I think we're looking pretty good on time. So what I did, five ahead, nice. So this could be pretty cool. And again, if you want to go audio, or if you want to share your camera or audio, go ahead. If you want to just keep typing, that's great too. But I just wrote up a bunch of questions here I thought we could talk about. I can read through these, or again, just read through these, see if any of these inspire you, if there's anything missing, and I think we can get some cool discussion going here. Okay, so Jacob says the Python/Vim course is an indispensable tool for a modern cook. No, interesting. Well, especially, yeah, if you're storing your recipes in plain text, a little bit of coding goes a long way. And I'm really interested in this JSON format. I think keeping stuff in there will have some really good longevity. It's really easy to get stuff out of JSON. It's built into every web browser. Let's say every modern computer has the ability to manipulate JavaScript and hence JSON as well. So that's just a super powerful immortal format, I'd say. But you do have to get it out of JSON to something that's a little more human readable, or you should, I think. You're not going to hand your friend who's not, you know, so techie or whatever, you're not going to hand them a printed recipe that looks like JSON. You want to format it slightly. So yeah, thinking about Nextcloud Cookbook, that was one of the weird things. Like they took a lot of time making sure the recipes were stored on this recipe.org JSON schema.org recipe type. They made sure that the recipes were stored that way, but you can't import without doing what I did, embedding JSON LD in an HTML file. So importing into, you have to have a website. So it's great for scraping, but not so much just exporting and importing. Okay, so Mohammed asked a question, is there any other resources to declare standards for recipe? I mean, I would encourage you to check out the recipe format on schema.org, the recipe type, because they thought of everything I could think of. And I think there's a, I'm sure there's a procedure for if you wanted to submit changes to the recipe type, you could do that. But maybe I'm not understanding the question. Player standards. I mean, yeah, I'm not an expert on standards, but of course there's the, the RFCs are all the internet standards, and maybe there's an RFC for recipe format, but schema.org came up with a bunch of things that just become kind of de facto standards, at least for shoving into HTML as JSON LD. They're pretty simple. But check out that format. It's standard enough. At least I was a little surprised that GNOME Recipes didn't go for a standard format. They seem to use their own internal structure, and then there's no export or import. So I don't know. Maybe it was just kind of an experiment. They wanted to. I'd love to learn more about the provenance. I think it may have come from, there was a program called Gourmet on GNOME that I used to use for my recipes, but I learned the hard way that I couldn't really force other people to use it. I didn't want to force them anyway. I couldn't get other people to use it. You know, I was kind of on my own cooking. So I'm curious if anybody else has found recipe management software, what you're cooking for, or want to, if it's just yourself or other folks. And it seems like okay, good. Here's a question. When you do cook, how do you actually find and use the recipe you need? Yeah, I know it's very tempting just to go do a web search for a streaming video about how to cook something or. Yeah, great question there, attendee for WI. yeah, anyone want to help me answer that? I mean, I think what we're doing today is part of that, just raising awareness about other ways we can store and share recipes. And videos, I didn't really talk about videos, but they're super engaging content, right? If you're seeing somebody make fried pickles, that's super helpful. So I know that PeerTube exists. I think we can talk about PeerTube, that it's free Libre. But I don't know. That's like the decentralized answer to at least finding videos about stuff you want to do. Honestly, when I cook, I'm cooking often. And so the things that I've made at least once before, I just need the recipe to refer to. So I think those videos are really useful when you're coming out of nowhere, just like you're starting from scratch, then that a video really helps you get started. Again, I don't know if a good free Libre source of videos about cooking. Yeah, well, I believe that. Automated video generation tool that could pick up the recipe in the format that we discussed now. Interesting. I suppose you could generate the video. I think it's a lot more genuine, like if it's a recorded video of something that I cooked. You know, what I've done in the past is just connect it. Usually I'm like talking with friends or family that want to cook something I cooked or I want to show them. So I think it'd be worth it just to like film, you know, set up the camera and make something once so they could see it, just share it directly with them. I'm not a content creator trying to make money that way. I'm really doing a lot focusing on small group computing. So I think it totally makes sense to make a video just for the small group you're working with. If it's your coworkers, your friends, family, I mean, make a little one-off, share with them. Okay, I'm going to jump to Benson's question. Have you tried to also get or record nutritional information? No. And, you know, I have a sense for how healthy something is. I just think of the macro ingredient and what do they call them, the macro groups? Or I'm like, okay, what's, is this a main or a side? Is it mainly protein, fat? Is it sugary, whatever? And you get a cooking a few times, you get a real obvious sense for that. But like having the actual nutrition information, I feel like that would be pretty easy to generate or derive from software, but mine doesn't do it, I don't think. Let's check out. No, I don't think this one generates it from the ingredients. I did have this thing like buy ingredients, so it makes a shopping list. I think I'm gonna stop sharing my screen here. Okay. So just reading the chat. Sharing is still a challenge, and if we have a way to share the recipe and also verify the authenticity of the directions and content would be great as well. I mean, you try and cook something once, you're gonna know pretty quick if the recipe is for real, is good, bad. So I don't know the question about athletes. I mean, and when I said communities or small groups, I was literally thinking about the family and friends that I just share recipes with one-on-one. Typically, I'll just send them the text of it, make a PDF, something, just so I know they'll be able to pick up and start and try what I did. Question about healthy ingredients. I don't have a super strong opinion of that. I think starting with cooking on your own, at least for me, cooking on my own led to me trying to make stuff healthier, trying to use less meat. I just don't like handling meat much, and so I started eating less meat, which I think is probably a good thing for the world and all that. Here's a question from Gnulas. Anything found, anything that works well for handling annotations and notes? I always seem to end up with a software wrapper like Emacs. Let me think of old handed down family recipes that have handwritten notes or critical insights for the cooking. Ah, great point. Yeah. You know, like I have a note on one of my recipes that where I know a relative of mine has an allergy. And so I usually just put those notes in the directions. Gnome Recipes does have a facility to, you know, warning, I don't know, pickle allergy. Although it has this thing here. Oh, interesting. Gluten, dairy. So it looks like Gnome Recipes was making some attempt at least to cover allergy warnings. Oh, they have some pre-made categories, vegan, halal, nut-free, milk-free. I think this is gluten. No, it's not gluten-free. It's vegetarian, though. And you should be able to detect that from the ingredients, too. Oh, okay, so here's how the note shows up. Warning, pickle allergy. I'm just playing around. I don't use Gnome Recipes. I probably won't, but looking over the chat, let's see. Starting to cook your own meal is your first step to being healthy. Yep. Yeah, and then, I don't know. I mean, cook for others too, because cooking is a privilege, right? Who's got the time? Who can make the time? Who can afford to make the time to do that? Yep, that's the schema.org recipe format. Again, I don't edit recipes by hand with that schema.org format. I'm usually storing and editing recipes in Nextcloud recipes. And so if I ever need access to it, I know that recipe format is in there. Oh, this is kind of cool. You can check off ingredients or check off instructions and ingredients as you do the recipe. Gnome Recipe also has a kind of cool UI for cooking. So let's see if I can do this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sharing my screen. I'm trying to show stuff on my screen, but I'm not sharing it. Anyway, Gnome Recipes, you can say start cooking. And then it's considering like, oh, your hands are messy and you just want to smack in a key to go to the next step. Well, it helps you do that. And then Nextcloud recipes was the other thing I was showing, how you can check off recipes and instructions you've already used. Jacob, what are you linking to? Healthy food, picture of the perfect plate. Oh yeah, for healthy eating. Nice. All right, so I had another question for others. How sensitive are your recipes to precise measurements? Because I know that some friends of mine are foodies, and when they cook, it's got to be very precise. The things I like to cook are not precise. I generally don't need the measurements, or if I, you know, I'm stir frying, I don't care exactly how many mushrooms and onions I'm using, how much spice. I kind of smell it, and I really love cooking that way. It doesn't take much practice either. Make something a couple times that's got, you know, 8 or less ingredients. I can usually do it from memory. So that's the fun part to me, is cooking something a few times, and then it becomes where I can have fun, really have fun doing it. The first time can be pretty painful. Yeah. I just use the numbers and measurements for reference. If I'm way off, if I need to scale the recipe, it's helpful to kind of fall back to that recipe. And but I don't really need the software to scale the recipe for me. I mean, it's not that hard to double and half, and keeps me young trying to practice math. So I'm fine with all that. What else? I'll go over some of the tech stack I used. A recipe that goes with, yeah, she took to her grave. That's right. So I'll share my screen again to show you guys the tech I use here and some links. So we're down in the resources section. Okay, so I use Vim, GNU Linux operating system, Python 3 for highlighting and editing Markdown. I like this Vim Markdown plugin, and I generally just use the Bash shell. JQ is really powerful JSON manipulator and query program. It's a full, I think it's Turing complete. Anyway, it's just really handy if your primary interface is the command line. Got my email, some other links in there. These are the places I found that have free, let's just put that in air quotes, free MealMaster recipes. I don't know the licenses, but these were cracking me up. Some of them have advertisements for bulletin boards. So I think these recipes are pretty, I would call them pretty immortal, I guess, if they're lasting that long. A lot of them were really junk food, at least the ones I found when I was skimming through, but it looked like fun. I get that, you know, people will probably just do a web search for the recipe and they'll end up on one of those recipe websites. And those are the ones that Nextcloud Cookbook can scrape those recipes pretty quickly. Yep, we do have right tools to write the recipes and share them. Awesome. Yeah, Miriam, I hope it does catch on that it's easy and fun to share recipes this way, and it helps us focus on the recipes. And you got to believe that plain text is going to respect your freedom. Okay, is the workshop MD file available anywhere currently, or will it be available after? Yes and yes. I'm going to commit and push the few changes I made just now, but maybe the easiest way is if you can get to my blog. It's WordPress. I think it's free. If not, you can just curl it or something if you want to avoid the JavaScript. I can't speak for what WordPress uses, but it's on adammonson.com. Should I put the link in the chat? So there it is. And you can get to the blog post that links to the source code. I don't want to force you to use GitLab either. So there's a way to get to the repository. I guess you got to use Git. But if you don't mind using their web interface, you can get to that too. Yeah, you bet. Happy to help, Cass. Yeah, I think a real, a semi-learned in aerospace, I was working in aerospace for a while, and the key to safety was simplification. So to make airplanes safe, they conformed, they narrowed the surface area for faults, and they designated risk profiles. So for things that are really risky, the code considering an airplane, the code for something that kept the airplane in the air had to be very, very simple. And the way to make it simple was to make it understandable, safe, transparent. And I think it's a similar thing for the way to make recipes last longer and to make them always shareable is to keep the format. I don't know if you call it, is it simpler? You know, plain text is just well understood, well known, well accepted. And really in any language, I think if you're using UTF-8, you're supported. So that's something I try to apply here, is just kind of keep it simple. Doesn't work with Libre.js. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Well, let's see. What's another way I can give you this?
I think that maybe work. Sorry, I misspelled it. Was my fault, Adam. It does work.
Oh, it does work. Oh, good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yay, way to go, WordPress. Thanks, Jordan. Cool. Okay, thanks, Jacob. Thanks for coming. Yeah, sorry, we're good to go if you have to run. Let's see if there's any other. I was curious if any of the features I brought up, y'all in the audience there, or volunteers, whatever, if you're thinking like, no, that's really a feature I need. Like, I really, really, really want that, or I need it for cooking. Are there any of the features that I said are just nice to have, non-goals, that you actually really need or want? And I'll review those right here. Converting between imperial and metric, double or halving, scaling a recipe. Well, that's scaling there. Shopping list. Thank you, attendee for WI. Thank you for coming. Nutrition info, beautiful style. I went back and forth on this a little bit because I think a beautiful, like if it looks great, it is kind of compelling. You know, I was attracted to GNOME recipes at first. But that kind of scares me a little bit too, because I'm like, well, if the project's dead, if they don't focus on the data format, they don't make, there's no import and export. I'll be curious to see how long this thing lasts. I mean, maybe somebody will pick it up and start working on it, but I didn't see any recent commits and stuff. So, and it's written in C. Mark my words. Mark or on your phone. Oh, nice. Yeah, portability is absolutely key. Yeah, I love that Markor app. That is great. And that's free software. So if you stuck with Markdown format recipes, I would say if you do use beautiful photos. Okay, all right. Even video. I mean, someone mentioned video. I mean, video is really compelling. I look for videos when I need to do home projects and stuff like that. Yeah, so I would just encourage you strongly, if you do keep your recipes in Markdown, is try and be just rigid about the structure in case you want to convert them someday. Because all of my Markdown formatted recipes are slightly different. Some of them use the H2 heading, some don't, and it's going to be a lot of work to convert them. I got to start with a little Python script, but it's not like an easy thing. What else? All right. Well, it seems like it's coming kind of a natural stopping point. So, Miriam, I can hand it back to you if you want to take the wheel.
Yes, thank you, Adam, so much. I would like to take the opportunity to thank you. You definitely inspired me, and I will have a look at Nextcloud more deeply, although I get your point of the sharing, that's difficult, and all the other tools that you presented. That was really inspiring, and especially the aspect of sharing those recipes too, that's so important. And I see from those many, many questions that you received that all the others have also been inspired. So you did an amazing job. It's not easy to make a workshop that interactive, but you succeeded very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here. I hope we'll see you again next LibreBonnet.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, everyone, for coming. That was fun. Cool.
I'm glad you're being so active.
Cool.
And have a great day.